Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvochim Daf Tzadi Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We turn our attention to the second line from the top of Daf Tzadi Aleph. We notice that there is a triangle. The triangle is part of a series that began on Daf Tzadi Omid Beis, and we offered an explanation for the presence of this triangle, whereby we were trying to respond or answer a question that was presented at the bottom of that same Omid Tzadi Omid Beis. And you'll notice if you have Tzadi Omid Beis available, there was a diamond which began a series of questions regarding precedence. Which sacrifice precedes which other sacrifice when you have two sacrifices in front of you and have to choose which one to process first. The Gemara that we are dealing with right now deals with the issue of Todir versus Mekudosh. One sacrifice appears with greater frequency. The other sacrifice has a greater level of sanctity attached to it. Which of the two is to come first? We are attempting to resolve these questions by presenting sources in which we will see frequent todir versus something that's mekudesh, and then establish which comes first. As far as the flow of the Gemara is concerned, most of the sources will have triangles pointing upwards. Those will be sources indicating that the attempt of the Gemara, that is, to demonstrate that that which is of greater frequency precedes that which has a higher level of sanctity. As we proceed in the Gemara, we will notice that each time, and we saw this already at the end of our previous shiur, that the suggestions will be rejected, and that's indicated by a double underline, as you can see as you skim ahead in the Gemara. At each point, the Gemara will reject that which it was trying to prove. However, when we get to the third wide line of the Gemara, we will notice an inverted triangle. At that point, the Gemara tries to show that that which has greater sanctity precedes that which has greater frequency. That too, though, the Gemara will reject. So, let us pick up the sugya from the second line from the top of Tzadi Aleph. Toshma Musfei Shabbos Koymen LeMusfei Rosh Chodesh. The Musaf sacrifice of Shabbos precedes the Musaf sacrifice of Rosh Chodesh, and we're talking about a case where Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos, and you have these two types of sacrifices in front of you, and you have to choose which one to process first. So this source says that you should process the Shabbos Musaf before the Rosh Chodesh Musaf. The Shabbos, of course, has greater frequency. It happens every week. The Rosh Chodesh happens only once a month. So we see from here, frequency precedes sanctity. You'll ask, how does Rosh Chodesh have greater sanctity? So Rashi points out that is because Rosh Chodesh is called in the Torah by the term Moed. Moed being a special time, and that special time gives Rosh Chodesh this increased level of sanctity. The Gemara, though, rejects this and says, "Otu Rosh Chodesh lemusafim didei ahani lemusfei Shabbos lo ahani." Do you think that Rosh Chodesh, that the day of Rosh Chodesh, which is called Moed, attaches itself to its musaf, to its own musaf, and doesn't attach itself to the musafim that are brought in honor of Shabbos? But we did point out that this Shabbos happens to be a Shabbos that's coming out on Rosh Chodesh. So the Rosh Chodesh event attaches itself to the Musaf Korbanos that are brought in honor of Shabbos as well. So that this is not an example of simple frequency versus sanctity, but these Musfei Shabbos, in addition to their frequency, they also benefit from the Moed aspect that is afforded by Rosh Chodesh. So that these Musfei Shabbos, in addition to their frequency, they also have the sanctity aspect. Therefore, they come before the Musfei Rosh Chodesh that only have the sanctity aspect. Toshma. So we try again with another source. Musfei Rosh Chodesh Koidmin Lo Musfei Rosh Hashanah. The Korban Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, which has greater frequency, comes before the Musaf sacrifice that one brings because it happens to be the first of Tishrei, it's Rosh Hashanah. Afagav de Rosh Hashanah Kotcha. Even though Rosh Hashanah has greater sanctity than Rosh Chodesh. The Gemara once again responds or rejects this suggestion as we did the one just before. Otu Rosh Hashanah Lemusfei Didei Ahani Lemusfei Rosh Chodesh Lo Ahani, is one to think that the Rosh Chodesh sanctity attaches itself only to its own Musaf, meaning the Korban Musaf, the Musaf sacrifice brought because of Rosh Hashanah, and it doesn't attach itself to those Korbanos that are brought on Rosh Hashanah, but because it also happens to be Rosh Chodesh, let's not forget, Rosh Hashanah is Aleph Tishrei. Aleph Tishrei is also Rosh Chodesh. So the sanctity that is associated with the holiday of Rosh Hashanah attaches itself to the sacrifices brought because it happens to be Rosh Chodesh as well. Therefore, or as we said just before, the Musfei Rosh Chodesh on Aleph Tishrei, on the first of Tishrei, have, in addition to their frequency aspect, they also have the Rosh Hashanah sanctity aspect. Therefore, they have two aspects, as opposed to the Musfei Rosh Hashanah, which have only the sanctity aspect, and of course, lacking the frequency aspect. Toshma. We now bring another source, but this source in and of itself is not sacrifice related, but we'll try to draw a principle from this source and apply it to our sugya. This source is coming is really a quote from the middle of a discussion where there is an issue concerning Kiddush. When we make Kiddush, let us say on Friday night, you have a Borei Pri HaGefen, and you also have the Bracha that deals with the Kiddushas Hayom, with the sanctity of the day. Beis Hillel holds that the bracha of the wine comes before the bracha of the Kiddushas Hayom. And they offer two reasons for their position. This source presents a second reason for their position. Dover Achir, Birchas Hayayin Tadira, Birchas Hayom Eino Tadira. We feel, says Beis Hillel to Beis Shammai in their discussion, that the Birchas Hayayin, Bori Pri HaGefen, should come before the Birchas Hayom. The Bori Pri HaGefen is Tedira. That's a key word for our sugya. It has greater frequency, and Birchas Hayom is less frequent, Eino Tedira. The Todir, Rishenu Todir, Todir Koidem. And when you have something that's more frequent and something that's less frequent, the one that experiences greater frequency has precedence. Afagav de Birchas Hayom Kadisha, even though the Birchas Hayom has greater sanctity. It's the bracha that features the sanctity of the day. The Gemara rejects this as well and says, Otu Shabbos the Birchas Hayom Ahanoi the Birchas Hayayin Lo Ahanoi, is one to think that the Shabbos day affords sanctity to the Birchas Hayom and not to that very Birchas Hayayin. That's not so. The fact is that this Birchas Hayayin, this Borei Pri HaGefen, is being said in association with the Kiddush of Shabbos. Therefore, the Shabbos sanctity attaches itself to the Birchas Hayayin, and therefore the Birchas Hayayin in fact has, in addition to its frequency, it also has the holiness aspect to it, and therefore it precedes the Birchas Hayom. But as far as our original Gemara, or our original question, we have not yet found a source that illustrates the competition, if you will, between simple frequency versus sanctity. Let's try again. Toshma, the Omer of Yochanan Halacha, Mispalul Odom Shel Mincha, V'Acharkach Shel Musafim. This is a situation whereby a person did not daven the Musaf Shmona Esrei early in the day. He waited till the noon, after noon, at which time the Mincha Shmona Esrei could be recited. In such a case, Rabbi Yochanan says that the person should say the mincha first and then the musaf shmon esrei. Why should he say the mincha shmon esrei first? Because it has greater frequency, and it shall precede the musaf shmon esrei, which is associated with a higher level of kedusha, being that the musaf is recited in honor of it being Shabbos. The Gemara rejects this as well. Otu Shabbos l'tfilas musafim anoi l'tfilas mincha lo anoi is one to think that the sanctity of the Sabbath day, of the Shabbos day, associates itself or attaches itself to the musaf shmon esrei alone and not to the mincha of Shabbos. That's not so. Shabbos associates itself or attaches itself to the mincha davening as well. And it comes out that the mincha has, in addition to the fact that the mincha shmon esrei is more frequent, it also, in this case, has the high level of sanctity that is afforded to it by the fact that it's Shabbos. Therefore, it has two aspects, whereas the musaf shmon esrei only has one. Toshma, notice, as we mentioned in our introduction, the triangle has flipped over. And we've written between the lines that this will now be a proof, or an attempt to prove, that that which has greater sanctity shall precede that which has greater frequency. Up till now, the triangles were in the opposite position with the point facing up, as we noticed each time we were trying to show that that which has greater frequency shall have precedence. Toshma shlomim shel emesh chatos v'osham shel hayoim. If one is confronted with a situation where there was a korban shlomim that was brought to the azorah, to the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash yesterday, but was not slaughtered then, and we're now on the next day. And there are also chatas and osham korbanos that are being brought today. So the source says that the shlomim shel emesh koidmim, the shlomim that were brought to the azora that yesterday, shall have precedence. However, we are to infer from this ha edivi deyoim. If, however, all the korbanos were brought on one day, in other words, you have chatos, osham, and shlomim all brought today, chatos v'osham kadmi, the sin offering and the osham offering shall precede the shlomim. The afagav the shlomim tadiri, even though the shlomim is a type of korban that's brought with greater frequency. So we see from this that sanctity has greater has preference in terms of order over frequency. The Rashi, across from here, a couple lines up, says Tadiri Shehein Mitsuyin Mitov Shiboyin Benedru Benedova. They are more common in so far as they come as a voluntary gift offering, as opposed to the Chatas and Osham, which come as a result of sin commission. The Gemara rejects this. Omar Rava, Motsui Koamris. Are you trying to bring a proof to our sugya from the case of Shlomim? Shlomim is not Todir. Todir is a term associated with frequency that is a result of an obligation, an obligatory item brought with great frequency. That is not the apt description of a shlomim. The shlomim, though it's found, it's a common type sacrifice, it's not a function of an obligatory frequency. It's a function of its commonness. That term is motsui. The term for that which is found commonly is motsui. So Rava says, motsui ko'amris? Are you trying to bring a proof to our sugya from motsui, where the chatas and osham come before the shlomim, which is simply motsui? Todir kome bayalon, motsui lo kome bayalon. We're asking about todir. Todir means something that comes with great frequency as a result of something obligatory. We're not asking about something that simply is found commonly. Therefore, of course, chatas and osham will come before the shlomim. The shlomim is simply a common type sacrifice, but it's not coming as a result of some type of choiva, some type of obligation. Our question dealt with something that comes as a result of an obligation with greater frequency. How does it stand up against something that has greater sanctity? So from this quote, Rava says, the inverted triangle quote, we cannot conclude our question. Amale Rav Huna bar Yehuda l'Rava. Rav Huna responds to Rava and says, Otu motsui lav todir. Is it really so accurate, your distinction? Rava tried to make the distinction between motsui versus todir. Is that really so? V'hatanya. We're going to now bring a brief Tanaic quote. In this quote, you'll see the mitzvah of Bris Milah featured. And Bris Milah is something that, though it's obligatory, it's not obligatory on a set basis, let us say, like a daily sacrifice or a daily Shmona Esrei requirement that comes with fixed high frequency. But rather, though it's obligatory, it's more associated with something that's found commonly. There are lots of Bris Milahs that have to take place on any given day. In this source, though, the Bris Milah, which appears at the end of the line, you see the word Milah, and the next line you see dashed, underlined, Shehi Tadira. So you are going to see that something which essentially is Motsui is classified as Tadir. And therefore, where Rava wanted to say, you can't bring a proof to our question from Shlomim because it is merely Motsui, Rav Huna Bar Yehuda says back to him, so what? So what that it's Motsui? That which is Motsui is also classified as Tadira. So let's now see the source. We should point out that this Brisa is part of a discussion where we are trying to prove that one who violates the bringing of Korban Pesach or doing a Bris Milah, should he or should he not bring a Korban Chatas in the event that he doesn't do a Korban Pesach or does not do a Bris Milah? So this source says, V'hotanya, Oitzi es ha-Pesach she'eno todir. Granted, we can exclude one who violates a Korban Pesach from the need to bring a Korban Chatas because of his sin, his violation. That's fine with regard to a Pesach, being that it's not something very todir. It's not a mitzvah that appears with great frequency. It's only once a year. However, v'lo otzi es hamila shi tadira, but I won't exclude necessarily the one who violates Bris Milah. After all, it is todir. So we see that Bris Milah, which doesn't actually resemble the todir that Rava tried to argue. It doesn't have a fixed calendar or clock obligation, a time-related frequency. And yet, because it's common, that seems to be sufficient to classify it as todir. And if that be the case, so then I would be able to conclude from the case of Shlomim and Chatas V'Yosham, where we said that which has greater sanctity shall precede that which is Todir. The Shlomim, in that case, which was Motsui, but we see that which is called Motsui can also be classified as Todir. The Gemara rejects this and says, "My Tadira." What does the term Tadira mean in the context of the Milah? Tadira b'mitzvos. Rashi explains, Tadira b'mitzvos, Dura b'mitzvos, Shenichrusu aleil shloishes rebrisos v'tzivuyin. There appears in the Torah 13 commands to do the Bris Milah, and there are 13 covenants that were entered concerning Bris Milah. So it has a great amount of mitzvos, and that's what the word Tadira means, and therefore it doesn't really resemble the question of our Gemara. So it may be todir b'mitzvos, but nevertheless, it's not todir in the sense of a fixed time frequency. It's not a time-related frequency. Time, we mean calendar or clock-related time. This is different than the case of the Korban Tomid, which is a frequent type of sacrifice based on a daily basis, or things like the Shmona Esrei, which is a prayer that one has to daven on a regular time basis. The Iboy Esemo, it may be argued that Mila Lagabi Pesach Ki Todir Damya, that the Bris Mila relative to the Korban Pesach can be classified as something Todir. But that's only relative to the Korban Pesach. Simply because it's found a great deal relative to the Korban Pesach, which is only once a year. But the relative or the ratio, the relativity between Shlomim versus Chatos, we cannot call the Shlomim, which is in fact Motsui, is not that much more common than the Chatos. Therefore, the Shlomim in competition with the Chatos cannot enjoy the title or the description of being Todir. And therefore, says Rava, that issue shall remain cannot be resolved from this last source. And as far as the Gemara is concerned, the Gemara at this point is going on to a new question. So the original question of the Gemara of Todir versus Mekudash remains unresolved. Ibayalaho, another question regarding Kedima. On the side, under our Nosei, our topic heading, you see Sheila, question, Todir v'sheinu Todir, if you have something which is frequent versus something which is less frequent, two of these sacrifices are in front of you, v'kodim v'shochet es she'eno Todir, kodim, and you violated the rules and slaughtered the less frequent sacrifice first. What do you do now? Eich nohagim, what do we do? The issue of what do we do has to do with, well, once you slaughtered the less frequent one first, do you finish off all of the procedures associated with it, or do you put it on hold, so to speak, and go back and deal with the one that is of greater frequency, finish it off first, and then go back and deal with the less frequent one that you happen to have sacrificed initially. Ibayalaho, Todir v'sheinu Todir. One sacrifice which has greater frequency, and there's another sacrifice that has less frequency, both in front of you. V'kodim v'shochat l'sheinu Todir, mai. And he hastened to slaughter the Eino Todir first. Now, we've dashed underlined this expression, V'kodim v'shochit, because this will be something we'll want to focus on as we go on in the Sugya. Mai. And now the Gemara presents the two sides of the question. Mi, and we have therefore a little aleph here, and the next line you see a squiggle underline, Oy Dilma. The squiggle underline is often used in our marking system to highlight the transition point between two possibilities. So we have the first possibility, let's read it. Mi amrinon kevan de shachtei makrivlei, that once you sacrificed it, albeit incorrectly, because you gave it precedence, namely the less frequent one that you offered, you slaughtered first, but once you did it, makrivlei, so finish off the job and do all of the following the subsequent stages of sacrificial offering. Oy Dilma, Yohiv Laacher, the Memares Bedama, or you possibly give it, namely the blood of the freshly slaughtered Eino Todir, give it to someone else, the Memares Bedama, who will stir the blood, preventing its coagulation. Ad the Makriv Le La Todir, until you offer up in a complete way, namely slaughter and sprinkle the blood of the more frequent one, more frequent sacrifice. Then you go back and offer up the Eino Todir. Omar Rav Huna Misura. Sura is the name of a place. Rav Huna from Sura says Toshma, and you'll notice a new geometric form as far as this sugya is concerned. On the side of our Gemara, we have a Mivneh heading. The Mivneh is the structural note. So we call this form, this shape, the volcano shape, which is geometrically called a trapezoid. Nisyoinois lifshoit es hasheila, attempts to resolve the question, mi dugmois shokodim shachte, from examples where it seems at first reading that he in fact slaughtered the incorrect one first, and then we'll see what do you do. So with our markings also, you'll notice how we've dashed underlined even in our note kodim shachte. This corresponds to the dash underlining that we featured in the Gemara itself when we presented the question with the dashed underline kodim shachte, kodim shachet. The Gemara, if you scan ahead, will present this trapezoid form in a flip-flop fashion, with the narrow part facing downwards. Though, let's continue in our structural note. Those are dechios; those are rejections. And how will the Gemara reject the attempts? Ha'amodas ha'makoros hanal, we will reestablish or re-explain the sources that were brought each stage. B'mikre shel shachtinu le'travayu, where he actually slaughtered both of them, the eino todir and the todir. U'shnehem oimdim lefonecha, and now both of the bloods are in front of you. The afalpi d'mimikre kozeh amrinon d'yesh lahaktim es hatodir, and even though in this case where both were slaughtered, we may in fact end up saying that do the todir first. Haynu mishum shekvar nishcha, that's because you already slaughtered the todir. Avol eineni yochol lahasik mikan l'mikre shel sheiloseinu, the todir adayin lo nishchat. However, I won't be able to resolve from this our question, wherein the Todir was not yet shechted. Namely, our question revolves around the case of someone having shechted only the Eino Todir. Being that that's the case, it could be, being that the Todir has not yet been touched, therefore, we may still want to say, finish off that which you started. Let's now see all of this in the Gemara, noticing, of course, that the Gemara will have numerous attempts to try to resolve the question, and we've numbered them off in the space of the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, 1 through 4, corresponding to each time the Gemara presents a new Toshma to prove this question, to resolve the question. Toshma, Shlomim shel emesh, chatas v'oshem shel hayoim. Shlomim shel emesh koidem. This is a source we saw before. It involved a korban shlomim, a shlomim sacrifice that was brought to the Azorah yesterday, and a chatas v'oshem of today, and they're all in front of you. The source says, you are to deal with the Shlomim Shel Emesh first. We infer, like we did before, Ha deyoim dumya de Emesh. However, a case of a Korban Shlomim of today, like the case of Emesh, Vehechi domi, and what is the case? The Kodim Shachte l'Shlomim, where you had shechted the Shlomim of today first. We are inferring that chatos v'osham kadmi, under those circumstances, the chatos and osham shall be dealt with. So that we have a case of kodim shachte, and still we say, leave it be, leave it aside, have someone stir the blood, and turn your attention to the chatas v'yosham. Let us turn first to the Rashi, before we go on with the Gemara's rejection. The Rashi's found a few lines down from here, ha diyoim dumyo de emesh. The Havamina in this Gemara is as follows. Shlomim shevion me'emesh, shlomim that were brought to the Azorah the yesterday, v'shochton hayoim, and you slaughtered them today, v'chatas v'yoshim shel yoim oim din lishochet, and the chatas and oshim that were brought today are standing alive waiting to be shechted. Shlomim shel emesh koidmin lizoreik. The yesterday shlomim are to be done first. There's rikas adam is to be done first. The e b'shneim oimdim lishochet lo omar deniktemu shlomim. If, however, both were still alive, namely the shlomim and the chatos, no one would say to do the shlomim first. The time of the bo may emesh and offer as a reason that they simply were brought yesterday. Ha idi v'idi dehayom v'kodim shachtinu l'shlomim b'reisha amrinon shchitas chatos v'ashem kodma l'zrikas shlomim. If you have a case of both of them that are brought today, and you shechted the shlomim first, then we say that the shchitas osham and or chatas and osham should come before the zrikas hadam of the shlomim. Alma, you see from this that mekudesh v'she'eno mekudesh v'kodim shachti l'she'eno mekudesh. If you have two kinds of sacrifices, one that's higher, has a higher level of sanctity, and one has a lower level of sanctity. The kodim shachtei l'sheinu mekudosh, in this case the shlomim, where you slaughtered the shlomim before the higher sanctity one. Yechum memoris bedamoi v'yizrok as a mekudosh v'hu adin l'todir sheno todir. So from the examples of the shlomim versus the chatos, which are functions of higher and lower sanctity, we're going to try to prove our issue of todir versus eino todir. So we turn to the Gemara once again. We, from the inference from this last source, we saw that if you were dealing with a shlomim that was brought today along with the chatas or asham, and you shechted today's shlomim first, well, then you should give the blood over to someone else to stir it and go ahead and shecht the chatos and finish off its procedures and then go back and deal with the shlomim. Likewise, if you have todir v'sheino todir and you shechted incorrectly, you shechted first the eino todir, we will tell you to stop and go back and deal with the todir before you do the zrikas adam of the eino todir, which you already had shechted. The Gemara rejects this and says, Dilma, maybe shlomim de emesh v'chatos v'osham de yoim, maybe the case that was featured in the source of yesterday's shlomim with today's chatos and osham, heichi mishkachas lo, how is it really found? How is it to be understood? Deshachtinu l'travayu, where both were sacrificed, so slaughtered. Both the shlomim and the chatas were slaughtered. U'diyoyim dumyo demeshnami, and the inferred case of the shlomim brought today, similar to the case of emesh, nami deshachtinu l'travayu, is also a case where both sacrifices were slaughtered, were already slaughtered. Let's go over that again. Let us say you have a shlomim and a chatos that were brought today, and you shechted both of them. Then we tell you, since both are shechted, finish off the todir one first. Avol, going on in the Gemara, Avol loy shachtinu l'travayo, tiboyoloch. However, if you don't have a situation where both were shechted, but rather only one, namely the incorrect one, was shechted, the other one is still alive, maybe under such circumstances we would say it would not be respectful to stir the blood of the one you already shechted in favor of slaughtering the other one which is still alive. So it could be, and that remains unresolved at this point, that's what the expression of tiboyoloch means, that still you have to ask about that case, where, namely our case, where only one, the incorrect one, was shechted and the other one is still alive. What do you do? Toshma. So we try once again, and we'll bring a quote, a Tanaic source, which was seen in the previous discussion, and previous sugya as well. This is the case of the Beis Hillel arguing in favor of having the Birchas Hayayin, the Bor Pri Gefen, said before the paragraph that's called the Kiddush, the Bracha of the Kiddush. Dover Acher, Birchas Hayayin Tadira. Ubirchas Hayoyim Eino Tadira. The Tadir Vishaino Tadir Tadir Koidem. Beis Hillel is saying, do the Birchas Hayayin before you do the Birchas Hayom. And now we have to add the essential explanation, and we've done this between the lines of the Gemara, and we've written in the between the lines, you can see what we've written, V'afagav di eno todir kodam shekvar kiddish hayom v'dayin yayin lo ba. In the case of the Kiddush, even though the sanctity of the day sets in before the wine is even brought to the table, that can be parallel to the case of Dumya de Kodam Shachte Lieno Todir. As we described before, the Birchas Hayayin is more frequent than the Birchas Hayom. And even though the circumstances for the Birchas Hayom set in first, that can be parallel to the case of Kodim Shachte Lieno Todir, where you shechted the Eino Todir first. And what do we see from the order of the brachas? We say, though, even though the Eino Todir was appeared on the scene first, nevertheless, we give precedence to the Todir. How would that then translate into our case? Well, if you shechted the Eino Todir first, give the blood over to someone to stir, and then go back and deal with the Todir from beginning to end. The Gemara rejects this and says, Hochi Nami, de Kevon de Asion, Keman de Shchiti Travayu Domi. Let's take a look at Rashi for this. You'll notice Rashi and the wide lines, we provide a little star in the middle of the line in order to help you find where this is coming, where this Rashi is to be found. Umeshani hochinami kevan de osa hashto yayin kamon umezuma lebrocha. In the case of the Kiddush, where the person has come to the table to make Kiddush, the wine is now there. Keman de shchiti travayu legabi kodshim domi. This can be more likely, it's more parallel to the case of the two korbanos already sacrificed, where the two obligations are in front of you right now, the Birchas Hayayin and the Birchas Hayoyim. V'lo tifsho mino leba'ayon. And from this, from the case of the Kiddush and the Bori Pri Gefen, we cannot conclude our question where only one was shechted, albeit the incorrect one. Continuing in the Gemara, Toshma, the Omer of Yochanan, Halocha mispawel Odom shel mincha v'achar kach shel musafin. This is also a quote similar to that which we saw before, where a person delayed in saying his musaf shmon esrei until the afternoon. Rav Yochanan says he should say the mincha shmon esrei first, even though the zman for musaf came earlier. And that would be like our second possibility. What in effect we're saying is that even though the Musaf time came first, the Mincha, which is of greater frequency, it's a daily type prayer service, even though the text may be different on Shabbos, but it's the Mincha davening is a daily affair. Since you have a more frequent thing in front of you right now, even though the Musaf obligation started, and that's parallel to the case of shechting the incorrect one first, nevertheless, we have to deal, give primacy and precedence to the Mincha. So, this too would be, this might be parallel then to our case of you shechted first the Eino Tadir. That's like the, that's parallel to the case of the Zman Musaf starting first. But that, in this case, where the Mincha has, the time for Shemoneh Esrei of Mincha has come upon you, so you put aside the Musaf and turn your attention to the Mincha. Finish off the Mincha and then go back and daven Musaf. The Gemara rejects this and says, Hochi Nami, Kevon Demoti Zman Tfilas Mincha, since the time for Mincha has come about, you're dealing with a situation of someone who didn't daven in the morning, the Musaf. He is now found in the afternoon. In fact, both prayers stand in front of him to be davened. That is, therefore, keman d'shchiti travayhu domi. That is closer in parallel to the case of the two sacrifices both having been slaughtered. In this case, both Zmanei Tefillah have already started. So under such circumstances, we say, deal with the more frequent one first. However, if you have a situation where you have only, you've shechted only one of the sacrifices, albeit the incorrect one, that we cannot conclude from this case. It may be, it's still open for discussion, that in such a case, if you shechted the Eino Todir first and the other one is still alive, well, we'll tell you, finish off this one before you start the Todir one altogether. Amale Rav Acho Breder of Ashi the Ravina, Toshma. This source deals with a Korban Pesach. Shachtoi, if you slaughtered a Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, Koidem Chatzois, before noon, posel, it's unacceptable, because the Torah dictates that it shall be done, which according to most Tanaic opinions means, in the afternoon. And therefore, if you did it before noon, you've violated the time requirement for the Korban Pesach. Another case, you're now in the afternoon, and the halacha expects, under general circumstances, to do the daily tomid shel bein habayim before you do the korban pesach. In this case, he shechted the korban pesach koidem l'tomid. If he did it out of order, and he shechted the korban pesach before the tomid, kosher, it's okay. The Korban Pesach will be okay. V'yemimores b'damo ad sheyizrok hadam of the Tomid. And this source is telling us that in the event that he shechted the Korban Pesach before the Korban Tomid, give the blood of the Korban Pesach to someone to stir until he deals with the Korban Tomid. So this would seem to parallel our question of shechting the incorrect one first, the other one still alive. This is telling you, give the blood over to someone to stir. The Gemara rejects this. Hocha b'mayaskinon, this source is dealing with the following. Kagon dekodim shachte l'tomid b'resha. That means, be careful here with the translation. Even though the word b'resha appears, don't translate it in a simple fashion. What's described here is that he, after he shechted the Korban Pesach, he actually shefted the tumid as well. And now he's asking, what do I do with the dam of the Korban Pesach? Let's take a look at the Rashi. Kigon de kodem shachte l'tomid. He shechted the tomid as well, kodem shebolim lach, before he came to ask what to do. So the word bereisho that you see in the Gemara, which means at the outset, it doesn't mean at the outset of what took place in terms of the slaughtering, but it means before he came to consult with us as to what to do. Velo nimlach el ha'azrika. The question here is simply concerns what to do regarding the sprinklings of the blood. So what in fact do we have here? We have a case of Shchiti Travayu. And the question that the source was dealing with is, what am I to do with regard to the Zrikas Hadam? Omar le Rav Acha Savo le Rav Ashi. Masnisin nami daika. Rav Acha says to Rav Ashi, he says, careful reading of the Mishnah will prove that this in fact is the case. Dikotoni, the source said, ad shiyizro kadam. The source said, give the Pesach blood over to someone to stir until the blood of the Tomid is sprinkled. So what type of situation do you see that the source is dealing with? It's dealing with the case of the two kinds of blood are in front of you, and we simply want to know what to do with regard to the bloods. For lo kotoni ad shiyishchot v'yizrok dam, it doesn't say give the blood of the Pesach over to someone to stir until you slaughter and sprinkle the blood of the Tamid. Shma minosa, from the fact that it doesn't say ad shiyishchot as well, we see that it's talking about a case where both had been shechted. Hence, this doesn't address our original question. Our original question having been where he shechted only one of them, namely the incorrect one first, what am I to do? Uvekulon koinim rashoyim v'shanois bachilos, the Mishnah said. The Mishnah indicated that regarding korbanos, almost all korbanos can be eaten by the kohanim in any way they would like to prepare them. My taima, why is this option available? Omar Kro, the Pasuk says, with regard to sacrifices that are given to the Kehanim, it says, Lemoshcha. That word is explained by the Targum in terms of Ligedula. It's given to the Kehanim to experience a sense of grandeur, of importance. Kederech Shehamalochim Oichlim, as kings would eat. So the way, however kings eat, and kings have their food prepared any number of different ways, so too the Kehanim are entitled to prepare their sacrificial portions any way they like. Omar Rabbi Shimon, we have the Mishnah that features Shitas Rabbi Shimon and other Tanoim regarding one who witnesses oil in the Beis HaMikdash that's being distributed to the Kehanim for eating. Omar Rabbi Shimon, im ro'isa shemen shu mischalek bo'azora, for achilas Kehanim, ein ato tzorech lishol mahu, you don't have to investigate as to what it is. Ela moisa rekike minochus Yisrael velug shemen shomitzora. You can conclude that it's the identity of the shemen as being either shemen left over from the rekike meal offerings. Meal offerings included different types of baked goods. There's a type of mincha called a rokik. The nature of this was that they were baked, and a certain amount of oil was brought along with this mincha, and from that oil, a certain quantity was smeared, and anything that was left over after the smearing of the oil on these cakes was accomplished, that leftover oil is given to the Kohanim. And that's called the Moisa, the remainder of the Rikike Minchos Yisrael. Likewise, the oil may be from the Lug Shemen Shel Metzora. When the Metzora individual comes to complete his purification process, he brings sacrifices, and along with the sacrifices, he brings a Lug, it's a name of a quantity of Shemen, of oil. And this oil is applied to the, there's a sprinkling of the oil and an application to the thumbs and ear of the Metzora. So after those applications are done, that which remains of the Lug is distributed to the Kohanim. Im Roisa Shemen Shehu Nitan Al Gabi Ho'ishim, if you are to witness oil in the Beis HaMikdash placed in the fire of the Mizbeach, you don't have to ask as to what its identity is. Ela Mosar Rikike Minchas Kohanim Uminchas Kohen Moshiach. You can conclude that it is the leftover oil from the Rikikim, those were the cakes we mentioned before, that are brought as part of a Minchas Kohanim, where a Kohen brings a Mincha. The halach is, it is completely burnt. And that burning will include the oil that's brought along with it. Even after the smearing of the oil is done on the Rikike Minchas Kohanim, the remainder oil is to be placed in the fire. And likewise, this the Minchas Kohen Moshiach, this was the Mincha brought by the Kohen Godol. So any leftover oil from these korbanos, the Rikike Minchas Kohanim or the Minchas Kohen Moshiach, that's placed in the fire. And why is it so easy to conclude the identity of the oil that's placed in the fire, or that's distributed to the Kohanim? It can be only these things and not something else. She'ein misnadvin shemen. Rashi says at the bottom, she'ein misnadvin shemen. Lefikoch loyala daitcho she'ein shemen. Hamischalek o min haniktar nidova. Therefore, it doesn't have to occur to you the possibility that the oil that you see being distributed or being placed in the fire as being shemen nidova, as being voluntary offered oil, because oil is not offered as a voluntary offering in the Beis HaMikdash. Animals are, meal offerings are, but not oil. Rabbi Tarfon Oimer Misnadvin Shemen. Rabbi Tarfon disagrees and says Shemen can be brought as a Nedova. Omar Shmuel. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a topic heading. The outside margin, you see the Nosei. Shitas Rabbi Tarfon de Misnadvin Shemen. Omar Shmuel. Ledivrei Rabbi Tarfon. According to Rabbi Tarfon, HaMisnadev Shemen, one who brings a Shemen Nedova, a voluntary oil offering, Kumso, he takes a handful of the oil, ushiorav necholim, and the balance, after the handful is taken off and put on the mizbeach, the shirayim, the remainder, is eaten by the kohanim. My taimo, what is the basis of Rabbi Tarfon's halacha according to Shmuel? Omar kro korban mincha, melamed shemisnadvin shemen. This tells me, by the word korban, which is an extra word, as Rashi describes, the word korban tells me that shemen can be brought as a nedava. Uke mincha, and we continue the parallel. Ma mincha koimtsa avishur necholin, just like a meal offering, a handful is taken off and the balance is eaten. Af shemen koimtsoi vishurov necholin. So too the oil, a handful is taken off and the balance is eaten. Omar Rabbi Zera, afanan amitnina. Rabbi Zera says we have a Tanaic source that supports this, that the shemen balance is eaten and not offered completely in the fire. Amar Rabbi Shimon, Imro Iso Shemen Shemischalek Bazara. Don't forget, Rabbi Shimon is the shita we saw in the Mishnah that stands in opposition, if you will, to Rabbi Tarfon. So Rabbi Shimon said, if you see Shemen Shemischalek Bazar, you see Shemen being divided out in the Azora, distributed to the Kehanim, you don't have to ask as to what the nature of this shemen is. Hello, it's obvious. It's either Moisa Rikike Menachas Yisrael, the Luv Shemen Shel Mitzora. Why? Why is it those things and not something else? Shein Mitznavin, because shemen is not brought as a voluntary offering. Therefore, it must be associated either with the Rikike Menachas Yisrael or the Mitzora. We can infer Michlal Demandi Omar Mitznavin. It must be, though, that the one who says you could be misnadev, mischalek, it would be distributed. This is exactly what Shmuel said in explaining Rabbi Tarfon, that it's that the only the kometz is offered and the balance is eaten, and hence it's distributed and eaten by the kohanim. Before we go further, we have noticed a new marking, a diamond, and this is explaining the outside margin in our Tatnose subcategory, subtopic, and Mivneh structural note. The diamonds will be here to highlight a Machloikis Rabbi Zero Rebaye B'Shemen Nedova. They will have a controversy as to what to do with voluntary offered Shemen. Lefi Rabbi Tarfon, within Shitas Rabbi Tarfon, that says Misnadvin Shemen. Rabbi Zera Mischalek LeKoyhanim. According to Rabbi Zera, this is what we just saw in our Gemara. He says the balance is divided to the Kehanim. And according to Abaye, Kulo LeIshim, Shemen Nidova is completely burnt. So up till this point, let's just note our markings. We circled Rabbi Zera, and Rabbi Zera is here to offer evidence from a Tanaic source in defense of that which Shmuel said in his presentation of Rabbi Tarfon, and that was that Shiorov Ne'echolin. Omar Le Abaye. Abaye addresses Rabbi Zera and says, Emo Seifa, state the Seifa of our Mishnah. Im Ro'isa Shemen Shenitan Al Gabi Ishim. If you see fire oil placed on the fire of the Mizbeach, Iatotzorch Lishol Mahu, you don't have to inquire as to what its identity, Elo, rather it's Moisa Rikike Minchas Kohanim Minchas Kohen Moshiach. Why is it so easy to conclude that it's one of those things and not something else? Shein misnadvim shemen, because shemen, according to Rabbi Shimon, is not brought as a voluntary offering. So the distribution, or in this case, the not the distribution, but the placing of the oil on the fire can only be one of these two things. We can infer, though, from this, michlal de lamad omar misnadvim shemen, must be then, according to the opinion that holds that you do bring shemen as a voluntary offering, Ozil Leishim. It's brought to the fire. It goes on to the fire. Only because, in the source that we saw, because this was an opinion that held Ein Misnadvin Shemen, therefore, if it's on the fire, it was concluded to be either Rikike Minchas Kein, Minchas Kein Moshiach. But if you hold that you are Misnadev Shemen, then that too would be a possible identity of the oil placed in the fire. So this is contrary to the way Shmuel presented Rabbi Tarfon, and hence it's also in opposition to Rabbi Zera, who felt that you could support Shmuel from our Mishnah. Abaye is arguing you actually have a kasha on Shmuel from our Mishnah. Le Abaye kasha resha, le Rabbi Zera kasha seifa. According to Abaye, the resha of our Mishnah, where we had the first diamond, that presents itself as a problem for Abaye, because Abaye contended that according to the Manda Omar Misnadvin Shemen, it's Kula Leishim. The Rabbi Zera, however, according to Rabbi Zera, Kashya Seifa, the second diamond, which was the way we inferred from the Seifa of the Mishnah, presents a problem for Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera had said that according to the Mandor Misnad Vin Shemen, it's mischalik, it's divided to the Kohanim for eating. The Seifa suggested that according to the Mandomar that Misnadvin, the oil is placed in the fire. Bishlamo the Rebbe Zera Resha Beshirayim Seifa Bekoimetz. According to Rebbe Zera, we don't have to say that there's necessarily any problem presented to him from the Seifa. The Seifa that says oil goes into the fire, that's a reference to the kaimetz, to the handful that's removed. The ratio which spoke about it being mischalek, that's referring to the balance. After the kaimetz was placed in the fire, the balance is distributed. So both sources, the ratio and the seifa, can be resolved within Rabbi Zera's approach. Elol Abaye, Kasha, according to Abaye, this Resha presents a problem because Abaye did not speak about anything being divided amongst the Kohanim. Abaye said that we see from the source, from the Mishnah, that it's placed in the fire. The Gemara answers, Tana Resha Otu Seifa. The Tana says what it says in the Resha in anticipation of the Seifa. However, the Resha as it is not to be learned with a sense of inferring some alternative. Let us see how Rashi explains this. Rashi's found on the upper part of the narrow lines, Tona Resha Mishum Seifa. Resha the Toni Gabi Shemen HaMischalek. The ratio which spoke about oil being divided, I ato tzorich lishol mahu, and it said in the ratio, you don't have to ask, well, what is the identity of the oil? Kedi naspa was brought for no actual reason. What do we mean by that? De'i nami misnadvin shemen, even if it were to be that you could misnadev shemen, eino mischalek. It wouldn't be divided out. Rather, it's placed on the fire. So why did the Resha speak about or use this expression, I atotzorich lishol mahu, that you don't have to investigate what its nature is? Where the Resha said, if you see Shemen divided out, it's either the Moisa Rikikin of Minchas Yisrael, the Luk Shemen Shel Metzorah. That's not an outgrowth simply of holding Ein Misnadvin, because even if you would hold Misnadvin, the same conclusion would be reached, that if you see Shemen being divided and you hold Misnadvin, it could only be Moisa Rikikin Minchas Yisrael, Luk Shemen Shel Metzorah. It wouldn't be divided out. So why does the ratio say what it does? Elamishum deboi lemisni seifa, because it wanted to come to the seifa of the Mishnah where it said im roisu shemen itan agabi oishim iatotzorich lesafka binedova shein misnadvim shemen. The seifa that spoke about if you see oil being distributed, being placed on the fire, not distributed, being placed on the fire, you don't have to entertain any doubts as to what it is. Namely, you don't have to entertain the possibility that it's in a dava. Shein misnadvim shemen, the davka ashmeinen. There, the seifa is speaking in a precise fashion. The ilu lemand yomer misnadvim. Because according to the Mandomar that you could be Misnadev, Nitan Agabi Ishim, that too would have been one of the possibilities of something placed on the fire. Let's go over this point again. The Seifa, which said if you see oil placed on the fire, it can only be Mosi Rikike Minchas Kehanim or Minchas Koy Moshiach and not Shemen Shel Nedava, because that is the opinion that holds you're not Misnadev Shemen. Because if you held you are Misnadev Shemen, then in addition to the possibility of it being Moisa Rikike Minchas Kehanim and Minchas Koy Moshiach, it may also be Shemen Shel Nedava. Therefore, Tona Reisha Nami Im Roiso Shemen Mischalik. Therefore, the Reisha used a similar style. If you see Shemen that's being divided out, however, Abaye is telling us that the Reisha is not to be learned with the inference, which therefore means the Reisha that says if you see Shemen being divided out, it can only be one of two things, and that's not a function of the fact that you hold a misnadvin, because even if you held misnadvin, it would not be, the Shemen Shel Nedava would not be one of those possibilities of the Shemen you see being divided out. The Gemara asks, as far as style of Mishnayos are concerned, Bishlamo Seifa Toni Mishum Reisha, we find latter parts of Mishnayos that are taught only because a Reisha, an early part of the Mishnah, stated something. So you'll have a situation where a Seifa is taught even though no inferences are to be drawn from the Seifa, because the main Chiddush, if you will, was presented in the Reisha. So that you have latter parts of Mishnayos that are taught without any specific Chiddush as a result of something taught in an earlier part. However, what you have here, Ela Reisha, Mishum Seifa Mitani, but do you have Mishnayos where early parts of the Mishnah are taught in anticipation of the latter part of the Mishnah? So the Gemara answers, in that type of Mishnah structure could in fact appear. Amri b'marava, it is said in Eretz Yisrael, Tana Reisha Mishum Seifa. This approach to understanding Mishnayos is in fact seen elsewhere, where in Marava they say the Reisha is taught in anticipation of the Seifa. So too in our Mishnah, the Reisha, which spoke about Im Roiso Shemen Shemischalik, if you see this and this, you can come to these conclusions. That style was taught in anticipation of the Seifa. That even though in the Reisha it wasn't limited to the man to Omar that held Ein Misnadvin, because that which was described in the Reisha applies equally to the man to Omar Misnadvin. The Seifa, though, taught what it taught with a sense of Chiddush in it, to in fact draw the inference. And hence, you have a structure, a legitimate Mishnaic structure, of a Reisha, which is in and of itself taught only for the sake of the Seifa, or as a lead-up, if you will, to the style that you see in the Seifa. Toshma. We try to resolve our machloikis from the following source. Yayin, kedivrei Rabbi Akiva l'sfeilim, Shemen kedivrei Rabbi Tarfoin leishim. If you see oil, wine that's brought to the Beis Hamikdash, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's placed in the sfeilim. Those were cups on the top of the mizbeach that led into the tubes that ran down into the ground of the Azora. So wine, according to Rabbi Akiva, is placed in the cups on the edge of the mizbeach. Shemen, according to Rabbi Tarfon, who holds that you bring Shemen as a Nedava, Le'ishim, goes onto the fire. My love, should we not conclude as follows? Mi deyayin kulo l'sfeilim, just like the wine that's brought goes entirely in the cups, Shemenami kulo le'ishim, the Shemen as well is put completely in the fire. Unlike Rebbe Zeira. So, this source would be in favor of Abaye's approach. The Gemara rejects this and says, "Midi Irya, hu ha kedisa v'ha kedisa." Each one, the case of Yayin is as it is. The Yayin is in fact completely poured into the tubes. However, the Shemen is dealt with in a different fashion, where only the kometz, only the handful, is placed in the fire. The rest can in fact be distributed. Ketanoi. The Gemara feels that the machlokus between Abaye and Rabbi Zeira parallels a machlokes tanoim, namely, what do you do with the shemen of Nidava? The star that we have above the word ketanoi points to a note on the inside margin, ketanoi, besoch hadea shemisnadvin shemen, within the opinion that holds, you can bring oil as a voluntary offering, namely, within Rabbi Tarfon's opinion, yesh machlokes tanoim ma'osim im ha-shemen. We will see a Tanaic controversy as to what do you do with that shemen. We saw up till now Abaye and Rabbi Zeira arguing within Rabbi Tarfon as to what to do with the shemen. We will now see in the Gemara a machlokes tanoim on this point. Several other things we should take note of. First of all, to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, you see a nun. A nun represents nekuda, a point, with a vertical dashed line. This indicates that this will be a long point. It will take a number of lines of Gemara in order to explain how you see the machlokes tanoim that we just described. We've also added a topic heading. You can see in the outside margin the nosei topic, hemshech, a continuation of the topic we are already involved with, and mivneh, structural note. So we have written on the side, nisoyon lahamid machlukas Rabbi Zeira b'ayik machlukas tanoim, an attempt on the part of the Gemara to present the machlukas between Rabbi Zeira and Abaye as a Tanaic controversy. Later, a couple lines from now, we'll see a double underline that will highlight the machlokes tanoim. We will also see the use of triangles. This will be highlighting two different approaches to how one is to derive the unknown from the known. Namely, if I have a topic that I don't have clarity on, and I want to learn it from another topic that I do have clarity on, how much of the unknown am I to derive from the other source? And that's called don mino umino. That's one approach, and we'll explain that more in detail as we get into the Gemara itself. There's another approach called don mino, that v'uki be'asrei, that some of the information regarding the unknown is derived from the original topic that is known, but the balance of that information is derived from the topic of the unknown itself, where partial information of the unknown in fact is known, as we'll see through the illustrations in the Gemara. We'll also see a bow tie form, and that's lahavlit sheshnei deos hatanoim soivrim kirabi tarfon demisnadvim shemen. This is to highlight the point that both of the tanoim that we will see in the Gemara, namely the Rabbanan and Rebbe, both hold, like Rebbe Tarfon, that you're misnadvim shemen. And we'll see a diagonal dashed underlining. Havlotas maskonas shnei deos hatanoim. At that point, we will be highlighting the conclusion of these two Tanaic opinions. Ubekach royim she to'amim l'machloikes Rabbi Zeira v'Rabaye. And through this, we will see the parallel between the machlokes tanoim and the argument, the machlokes between Rabbi Zeira and Abaye. If we do things a little bit out of order, Let's first look at the end, so to speak. Let's look at these dashed underlinings. So we'll see on the fifth wide line of the Gemara, the first word in the line was Uma, which is encircled. In the middle of that line, you see a dashed underline, Af Shemen Koinso Ushiorav Necholim. That parallels Rebbe Zera. And then if you skip down a few lines later, you'll see at the beginning of the line, three lines from here, you'll see Af Shemen Kulon Leishim. That parallels Abaye's approach, which said that Shemen that's brought as an Adava goes entirely into the fire. Let us now turn to the Gemara itself. The Gemara suggested the Machlokas Abaye and Rabbi Zera, Ketanoi is a Machlokas Tanoim. Shemen lo yifchois milug. The first opinion says that Shemen, one who brings an offering of oil, a voluntary offering of oil, he shall bring no less than a lug in quantity. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe disagrees and says, Shloishes lugin, you shall bring three lug. B'mai komifligi. What is the underlying point of machlokes between the Tanakama and Rebbe? Amrua Rabbonon Kamei Derav Papa. You'll notice that this is a squiggle underline. A number of lines later, you'll see in the Gemara, six lines from here, Omar Le Rav Papa. This is a structure you find very often in the Gemara. The expression Amrua Rabbonon Kamei De someone. The Rabbonon say something in front of an Amora. The Amora almost always will respond. And in this case, you have Rav Papa's response, as we pointed out just now, a number of lines later. Before we read the Gemara itself, let's take note of the note on the inside margin near the double star. We've written, Lefi Gishosam Sharabonan Eilu, according to the approach of these Rabbonan that are stating their case in front of Rav Papa, Keshenuchal Lagia Lemokor Hamachloikis Beinyan Shiur Hashemen, when we can discover the source for the machlokes regarding the quantity of oil. In other words, we have to seek what's the source of this argument regarding quantity of oil. Nuchal achar kach lagia lemachlokes beinayim ma oisim im hashemen. We will also be able to discover what do you do with the oil. So there are two issues that have to be dealt with. First, discover the source of what is the basis of the machlokes between Tanakama and Rebbe regarding the quantity of the oil. Where did they get their respective shiurim, quantities with regard to the oil? And once we discover their respective sources for their quantities of oil, we'll then see how there is a controversy with regard to what to do with the oil. So, continuing in the Gemara, Amrua Rabbonan Kameder of Papa, Doin Mino Umino, Vidon Mino Viuki Beasro Iko Binayu. The point of difference between Tanakama and Rebbe is how do you proceed to derive information concerning the unknown from other sources. The nuances between these two approaches will be seen through the examples of the Gemara itself. The Rabbonon Savri, the Rabbonon, that's the Tanakama, hold, when you're trying to discover the unknown, don mina umina. As follows, don mina, the first step is ma mincho misnadvin, af shemen misnadvin. In our Gemara we have the unknown. The unknown is the oil. The known is a korban mincha, a meal offering. So the Rabbanan say, when you're trying to derive information concerning the oil, let's first establish that you can bring oil as a gift, as a nedava. So we say, you can do that. Just like a mincha is brought as a nedava, the mincha being, we'll call the known topic, we know that you can bring a korban mincha as a nedava, af shemen misnadvin, so too shemen can be brought as a nedava. The use of this bow tie, as we mentioned earlier, was to highlight that the shita of the Tanakama is within the outlook of Rabbi Tarfoin that shemen can be brought as a nedava. It's important to establish that the Tanakama and Rebbe both hold like Rebbe Tarfon, so that we'll be able to parallel their machlokas to Rebbe Zera and Abaye, who were both explaining Shitas Rebbe Tarfon as well. So the Tanakama, so far, we've established, holds that just like a mincha can be brought b'nedava, shemen can also be brought b'nedava. Umina, and further information concerning the oil, which is our topic called unknown, shall be derived from the other, the outside topic, namely the mincha, the meal offering. Ma mincha lug shemen, just like in a standard korban mincha, the amount of oil brought along with a meal offering is a lug in quantity. Af kan, so too, regarding one who brings a nedava of shemen, lug shemen. The quantity is to be one lug. Uma mincha koimsa v'shira necholim, and just like a mincha, a handful is taken off and the balance is eaten by the kohanim. Af shemen komtso u'shiorav necholim, so too the oil is has a handful removed, put in the fire, and the balance is eaten. So what have we seen here? We see the Tanakama, who held that one who brings a nedava of shemen brings a lug. Where does he know that information from? He knows that from korban mincha. And we are extrapolating that this Tanakama will go all the way with regard to learning halachas of shemen from korban mincha. When we say go all the way, this is what was meant by don mina umina. In effect, one might argue that there's actually three stages that are derived from the mincha. The first point being that you can bring shemen as an edava, just like a mincha. The second point was the quantity of oil. Just like by the mincha you find a lug, so too by the shemen shel nedava. And the third point is, just like by a mincha only a handful is removed and put in the fire and the balance is eaten, so too with regard to the shemen, the balance is eaten by the kohanim. To make things a little clearer, we also circled the word ma being the jump-off point from mincha to the oil each time. And you'll notice, if you skim back in the Gemara, you'll notice three times this word was circled. At this point, we have found a Tanaic approach to Rabbi Tarfon that parallels Rabbi Zera's approach. The Idach, Rebbe, the other Tana, he's the Tana that held that one brings shemen shel nedava, brings three lug. So, the idach, mi mincha, he also derives information from the korban mincha, from the meal offering. However, bear in mind that he is not going to derive all of his information concerning the shemen from the mincha. Only partial information will be drawn from the mincha. The balance will be drawn from something else. And we'll see, it's drawn from something similar to oil in the fact that it's liquid, namely the wine offering. So let us see, V'Rebbe, the Idach is Rebbe, Mi Mincha, he learns his halachas, namely his quantity of three lug from the Mincha. Let's restate that. We made a mistake there. V'idach means Rebbe derives his information concerning shemen only in a partial sense from the mincha, and that is only the first stage, namely that shemen can be brought in the first place as an adava, that and that alone is learned from the mincha. V'idach mi mincha. This is Rebbe. He learns from the mincha. Ma mincha misnadvin. Af shemen misnadvin. Just like a mincha, a meal offering can be brought as a voluntary offering, so too oil can be brought as an idava. V'uki ba'asra. However, with regard to the issue of quantity and what you do with it, that is to be derived ba'asra in its own place, meaning in the topic of liquid offerings. Kinesachim, the unknown regarding the oil as far as quantity and what you do is learned from the Nesachim. Nesachim is the wine offering, which is also a liquid type of offering. Ma Nesachim Shloishes Lugin, just like when one brings a korban Nesachim, it is 3 lug of wine. Af shemen shloish lugin. So too, the shemen, the oil, is 3 lug. You can see with the markings, we've also dashed underline these points within the two shitas, the quantity points. And the reason for this dash underlining is to point out that these were the shitas that were featured in an explicit fashion in the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rebbe, where the Tanakhama mentioned 1 lug. That was dashed underlined in our Gemara a few lines up at the end of the line, and here we're dashed underlining the shita of Rebbe that said 3 lug. Now, what do you do with these? What do you do with the oil? Uma nisachim kulan lesfelim, and just like in the case of wine, there isn't a division, but rather it's all poured into the tubes, the cups that led into the tubes on the edge of the mizbeach. Af shemen kulon le'ishim. So too, the oil is completely placed in the fire. That parallels, of course, Shitas Abaye that we saw above in his interpretation of Rabbi Tarfon. This is the end of our long point. The long point being that the machlokas Rabbi Tarfon and Abaye, Rabbi Zeira and Abaye, parallels this machlokas Tanoim between the Tanakama and Rebbe. Omar le Rav Papa. Rav Papa turns to the Rabbonin and says, "E mi mincha maisi lo Rebbe. If Rebbe were like you claimed, learning from the korban mincha, then the kulei alma don mina umina. Then everyone would have held you learn completely from the mincha, and you would come out holding 1 lug of oil, just like that's the amount brought with a standard korban mincha. But Rebbe said 3 lug. Ela Rebbe me ezroch gomar." Rebbe learns the idea or the quantity of 3 lug from the word ezroch. Let us look at the Rashi that you find in the wide lines. Rebbe me ezroch gomalo lenidvas shemen. Rebbe learns that you can bring oil as a voluntary offering, not from a parallel to the Korban Mincha, but rather from a Xeris HaKosuf, from the word Ezrach. The Chinami Dainis Mino Mino, and in such a case, even if you do Darshan, that you learn everything that Rebbe would hold Don Mino Mino, you would still come out saying Shloishes Lugin Hain. You would bring 3 lug. Shehu Pochos Shem Nesachim. The Nesachim shall keves revia sahin yayin ksiv behu. 3 lug is the minimum amount of a Nesachim, of a wine offering that comes along with a sheep sacrifice. The Rashi mentions a quarter of a hin. A hin has 12 lug in it, so a quarter of 12 is 3 lug. Omar le it should be pointed out that Rav Papa therefore disagrees with the Rabbanan's approach to how Rebbe derived his information. Amar lei Rav Huna brei de Rav Nosan the Rav Papa. Mi motzis amris hachi, can you really say, like you claim, that Rebbe learns his halachas of oil from the word Ezrach? V'hotanya, you have a source that says, Korban mincha, melamed shemisnadvin shemen. This word, the extra word korban, tells me that you can bring oil as well as a voluntary offering, v'kamo, and how much is brought, shloishalugin. Uman shamis le domar shloishalugin, whom have we known to say that the quantity of oil is 3 lug? Rebbe he. That's learned from Rebbe. That's Rebbe's opinion. The ka maisi law mi korban, and you see from this Tanaic source that he derives his information concerning the oil from korban and not from ezrach. Well, Amale, Rav Papa responds and says, "E tanya, tanya." If there in fact is a source that says it, then I can't argue with a source. As we turn to the side of the more, we have a nosei, a topic heading, Hamisnadev Yayin, Lefi Shmuel, Mevi Umezalfo Al Gabi Ha'ishim, one who brings wine as a voluntary offering, according to Shmuel, it's brought and sprinkled in the fire. Omar Shmuel, Hamisnadev Yayin, Mevi Umezalfo Al Gabi Ha'ishim. Ishim is the word for fire, plural form of the word ish. My taima, what is the basis of Shmuel? Omar kro v'yayin takriv l'nesech chatziyayin ishe reach nichoach l'Hashem. In this pasuk, you see the word reference to yayin, and ishe is the fire. So we see that the wine is placed in the fire. The Gemara asks, but if you sprinkle the wine on the fire, you're going to be extinguishing the fire. The Gemara says, well, kibui b'miktsas lo shmei kibui, when you sprinkle the wine on the fire, it may extinguish, but it's only a partial extinguishing. We might point out, before we go further in the Gemara, that when the Gemara asks, v'ho'ko mechabi, it's not just a practical consideration that you're putting out the fire, but there's also a prohibition of putting out the fire of the Mizbeach. To that, the Gemara responds, as far as the violation of extinguishing, you're not in violation of that. That would involve only a case where a person completely extinguishes the fire on the Mizbeach. What's happening here by sprinkling the wine on the fire, it's only a partial extinguishing. The pasuk was makbid when it said eish tukad tomi tukad al mizbeach loy sichbe. That requirement is only involves a situation where he would completely extinguish the fire. The brackets that we have here is to be skipped initially, the bracketed section, to create a sense of continuity in answers to the question. So you see right after the brackets, which is indicated, you can see the length by the length indicator to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a vertical dashed dotted line. So you see at the end of the brackets, Iboyas Emo, Kiboy de Mitzvah Shiny. The alternative suggestion is that even if you may have a problem with kibui b'miktsas, nevertheless, you're doing it in the context of a mitzvah, as opposed to a willful, wanton desire to extinguish. Here you're doing it in the context of a mitzvah, and therefore there would be no problem. Let's go over now the bracketed section. Before doing so, though, we can take note of the star the note on the inside margin, Machas HaSagrayim, the purpose of this bracketed section is Litzor Retzef. When we say the bracketed section, we mean the idea of bracketing off a piece of Gemara and skipping to the point afterwards, is Litzor Retzef, to establish, to form a continuity, B'shnei HaTshuvos LaSheilo V'Alka Mechabi, to two responses to the question of, oh, well, aren't you extinguishing? Toch HaSagrayim HaGemara Dona B'tshuva D'Kibui Mitzas Lo Shmei Kibui. Within the bracketed section, the Gemara will deal with this answer that said partial extinguishing is not considered real extinguishing. So let's now continue in the brackets. Eini, is that so that Kibui Mitzas is not, doesn't constitute kibui? V'amar Rav Nachman Ravua Hamoyrid Gacheles Me'al Gabi HaMizbeach V'Kibo Chayov. If one removes a coal from the top of the Mizbeach and extinguishes it, he is guilty. So, a coal, one would assume, represents only a partial amount of the fire, and yet he is guilty. Guilty of extinguishing. The Gemara says, well, what was just described by Rav Nachman is a case, Deleko Elohai, there was only one coal. It was the last coal left on the Mizbeach, and he distinguished it. That was tantamount to a complete distinguishing, a complete extinguishing. Turning back to the Gemara, we have a new geometric form. You see a house form. In the outside margin, there is a Mivneh, a structural note. Kushyos al Shmuel. Toshma. The Tana Rav Elozer ben Yankiv, klape she nosna haTorah reshus litroim. Since the Torah gave an indication of one's removing the ashes, the trumas hadeshen, the ashes in the morning from the mizbeach, yochol yichabe vitroim. If one comes to the Mizbeach in the very early hours of the morning, or we'll call it the tail end of the night, which is the time for doing the procedure known as Trumas Hadeshen, removing the ash from the top of the Mizbeach. Let us say he comes to a Mizbeach where it's complete, it's all of the coals are burning. Should he go and extinguish the coals and then remove the ashes? And remove that which was just a moment before burning? Amris lo yichabe. Well, to that the Torah says, do not extinguish. So we see from here that even a partial extinguishing would be in violation of the Torah teaching. The Gemara says it's true that there is a prohibition in that case of partial extinguishing, and that's only because there is an alternative, shiny hasam. That case is different. It's different from the case of the wine, because efshu diyosev notar, there he can wait, he can sit and wait till it goes out on its own, and then remove the ashes from the mizbeach. Toshma. The Gemara brings another Kashan Shmuel, where we will see that Kibui B'Miktsas, where we will see that there is a problem of putting the wine in the fire. Toshma Yayin Kedivrei Rabbi Akiva L'Sfeilim. There's a small bracketed section, and the reason for that is because we want to focus on Rabbi Akiva right now, who spoke about the wine, which is our current topic. Being that that has been stated, let us now look into the brackets, where it says, Shemen Kedivrei Rabbi Tarfon Le'ishim. The Shemen is placed in the fire, according to Rabbi Tarfon. The Oitanya, Yayin Nesech Lasfeilim O'eno Elo Le'ishim. The wine, is it put into the cups, the tubes, or is it placed in the fire? Because after all, the pasuk says ishe in the context of the wine. Amris lo yechabe. So this source, this Tanaic source, is saying no way, that the wine is not to be placed in the fire, because that would involve extinguishing. That's a kasha on Shmuel. Shmuel wasn't bothered by the wine being placed in the fire and the subsequent extinguishing. The Gemara answers, this source does not present a repudiation of Shmuel. Lo kashya, ha Rabbi Yehuda, ha Rabbi Shimon. this source that says not to place the oil, the wine in the fire, that is according to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that those acts that are done even without kavana are prohibited by the Torah. So that when one is sprinkling the oil, the wine, in the fire, he has no intention of putting out the fire, but nevertheless the resultant extinguishing of the fire takes place. That was a davar she'eino miskaven, and Rabbi Yehuda is known to prohibit even that which is accomplished without intention. The Rashi says, "Ha, Rabbi Yehuda, the Omar, davar she'ein miskaven osur, that which is unintended, nevertheless, is prohibited. Osur havilo sichbe afilu belo miskaven. Therefore, it's prohibited. Even the lo sichbe, which is done without kavana, is prohibited. Hilkoch okar le l'mashmusei de ishe. Therefore, the presence of the word ishe in the context of the wine offering has to be removed from its simple understanding, l'midrashay, to be explained alternatively as nachas ruachu lefonai ke'ishim, that the offering of the wine on the mizbeach appeases me and gives me a sense of pleasure to the Almighty, so to speak, like things that are offered in the fire. V'hachi masik lo l'braisa b'sifri, and that's how the braisa ends up in the Medrash. Continuing in the Gemara, we have the next opinion, namely of Rabbi Shimon. Ha, Rabbi Shimon, Shmuel, who says you can sprinkle the wine in the fire, he parallels Rabbi Shimon that holds Dovor Shein Miskavein is mutter. This gives rise to the next question of, is that really in fact the case that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon? Mirtz Hashem, next time we will deal with understanding Shita Shmuel as far as these Tanoim are concerned. But with that, we conclude our shiur for today.